Well, let's just go ahead. If you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 10, not a whole lot of verses that we're going to go through tonight, but I feel that this is going to be a timely word, especially with the holidays and everything going on. I just feel that the Lord's just really kind of impressed some things upon me that I wanted to share with you because obviously it's applicable to every single one of our lives, because I've seen things that have happened in my life that I've seen the Lord just remind me of things that I need to just stop doing and relax a little bit. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 38. But before we actually start reading, I'll go ahead and we'll just open up in prayer real quick and just thank the Lord for blessing our time here tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that it conveys so many different things to us. Father, we thank you that it ministers not only to our needs, Father, emotionally and spiritually, but Lord, we thank you that according to your word, it is this scripture, it is the word of God that gives life to all those who find it, health to our flesh, Father. And we thank you that you will bring, Father, any kind of things that need to be reminded of us, Father, so that we can be reminded of not our sinful nature, Father, but we thank you that that comes from Satan. But we know that we are reminded by your Holy Spirit of our righteousness in you, our wholeness in you, our perfection in you. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for continuing to nail that home in our hearts, Father, of just the grace that you have for us and the love that you have for us, so that we know that we are accepted. We know that we are loved. And we know, Father, that you are always there for us. And we just want to praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to start in verse 38. We're going to read through verse 42. And I know sometimes people read this, and we'll kind of look at it from a couple different viewpoints. We're going to look at it mainly from Mary's viewpoint. When we read this section, I want us to kind of just take a step back and kind of view it as how Mary sees what's going on and see what the most important thing is that she has learned, obviously, from God, or has taken from her spirit, that she just wants to see and hear what Jesus has to say. But at the same time, we'll deal with a couple of things with that are going on here with Martha as well. But it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" And I know, especially during busy times like now, we sometimes get so burned into details. And like what we've been discussing recently at youth was, it was talking about the Advent conspiracy, where it's basically trying to get people to pull back and to realize that instead of getting so wrapped up in buying presents to where the holidays are stressful, that we kind of refocus everything about what it really is about, and it's about Jesus. Not to say that buying people presents are a bad thing or anything like that, because that's one thing they made very clear. It's not that they're saying don't buy anybody anything, because obviously, you know, people enjoy that, and you enjoy getting, receiving, and giving, and all that kind of fun stuff. But at the same time, it was like to refocus on what is truly important. What is truly important, and you want to enjoy the most important things in your life. And that's one thing that obviously Mary understood better than Martha did. Because we all know that there are sometimes during the holidays where we might be getting our house perfect, we might try to get everything all put together and ready, that we're so stressed out that it's almost a relief that the holidays leave us, than actually just having a enjoyment of the holidays. And that's where I think there's some things that obviously I see happening to myself. I see things happening to other people that basically are pulling them away and making them not only just worried about many things, but distracted by many things. to where we have lost the ability to just simply enjoy meals together with people, where we've lost the ability to, you know, sit through service and just enjoy the Word of God being taught to us. You know, there are so many things that we're concerned about that we worry about them, or even if it's not just a worry, we're distracted by it, so that we are pulled away to where we completely miss the most valuable thing, and that's the relationships that we have with people. That's the Word that God's trying to bring to us. It's all these different things that are the most important things that we need to learn to have. And as I'm going to start down here, because the reason why I want you to think about this in Mary's case, because obviously when Jesus showed up, Martha welcomed her, or welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary, who said, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see, when Mary saw Jesus come in, the first thing that she thought of was not, hey, I need to keep prepping the house and make sure it's perfect for my Savior, or make it perfect for our God, but it is, I need to listen to what he has to say. I need to pull from him, because obviously he is the source of life. He's the source of these things that, you know, every time he speaks, something just moves inside of me. You know, it is that anticipation, and it is that love that she has for him that makes it to where when he comes into her presence, she doesn't care about everything else. You know, we so get concerned about, I know when people come over, you get really concerned about picking up everything, and I know I do, because, I mean, it's not, I mean, God wants us to be good stewards of what we have. I'm not saying that he wants you to always be in a slop fest or anything like that at your house, but he wants you to also keep in mind that the most important thing is the relationships that we have in this world. It is the love that we have with one another. It's the love that we have with our Savior, and that is what we need to focus on, because as you can see, Mary here, the one thing that she was most, and as it says, let's go to 42 real quick. I know we're kind of jumping back and forth in this section, but it says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You see, we have to learn to draw from Jesus. Amen. We have to learn of how to focus on drawing from God, drawing from his word, because it said the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the word of God. And so if we are to get to know Jesus and draw from Jesus, we have to also at the same time not only keep in mind of our prayer life, because obviously that's one way that we communicate with God, because we communicate with him through our spirit, you know, through speaking in tongues, and also just through regular prayer, you know, with our words. But at the same time, we have to learn to draw from him from all avenues, you know. We can draw from him through prayer. We can draw through him from his word. We can draw from him through other believers, you know, because obviously that is the reason why you have a community of believers. That's the reason why when, you know, they got together, they fellowshiped, they broke bread with one another, they shared the word with one another. You better believe while they were doing that, they all exchanged comments about the word. You know, they dwelled with one another and drew out of each other what God wanted to minister to them. And it is through that, and it's through that reminding that we learn how to draw from those people. Because if we are the face of Jesus, we also need to learn from draw from, not only from one another, but let other people take from us. Because too often we sit here and there are so many things that just completely distract us. Like one thing that I have found myself doing, so I mean I'm not calling anybody out by name except for myself, but I found that even during, you know, during meetings at work, or even during just sitting out and having dinner, you know, with my wife, whenever we had gone out to dinner, you know, like on a date or anything, I found that it's interesting that we will multiple times during the dinner check our phones for different things, whether it be to, you know, check for messages, or maybe somebody did send us a message, or maybe somebody did call us or whatever. But we get so focused on these other things, and, you know, as wonderful as the internet is with Facebook and all these social interactions that we can have with other people, we get so distracted by these other things that we forget the relationship that's sitting right there in front of us. You know, and it is so, it's where I found that, and I know that I've, you know, I try to make a conscious effort, and no, I do not do it perfectly, obviously, because I know that I end up pulling my phone out or checking something, you know. But it's a conscious effort that we have to be mindful of. Because the reason why we're here is not only to us have a relationship with God, but it's to have a relationship with other people. And if I'm sitting out at dinner with my wife, I need to learn how to draw from my wife and build a relationship with her rather than trying to build a cyber relationship with somebody on Facebook by commenting on their photo, okay? You know, it is one of those things that they're... And it doesn't just happen through Facebook. It could be sports scores. It could be a number of different things to where instead of focusing on the task at hand, we focus on, can you hold that thought real quick? I need to check the score on the KU game. You know, I need to make sure that, you know, nothing's going on that I need to, you know, be aware about. Because so often we get distracted like this, and sometimes we look at this with Martha and we go, you know, how could Martha be so distracted? Jesus was right there in front of her. Jesus is right in front of us absolutely every single day of our life. But we choose to make a conscious effort to watch TV. We make a conscious effort to, you know, we've got so many recorded shows on our DVR that we could sit there and watch for days on end. But it's funny how that becomes more important when we have an extra hour of catching up on a TV show than catching up on reading that we should have been doing all along. You know, of drawing from God and drawing from the most important thing in our life. Because just as these holidays are, the holiday should not be a stress-filled event. Amen. It should be an event that we enjoy. It should be an event that when we get together with other people that we don't need these other distractions. We don't need them because we want to enjoy the presence of other people. That's why we need to just take advice from Mary on this and focus on those relationships. Because relationships only work, obviously, when they have two sides. And I know that some people are probably listening to this, and some people are probably going, well, I really think so-and-so needs to hear this, you know? If we think that about other people, we're already in the wrong, okay? Just because if we're already pointing out somebody else's failures and they're not even here, you know, we're not focusing on building that relationship either. And we need to focus on what is the most important thing, and that is drawing from other people, learning to draw from, you know, learning to let them draw from us. And obviously, that leaves us open to vulnerability, because when we do that, we open ourselves up and we start to offer our lives to other people. And when we do that, it obviously exposes us and it makes us basically take away barriers that make us more vulnerable to other people. And by doing that, people, we have to start letting our guards down, which is a huge problem with everybody. You know, we all try to keep these facades going on that basically just show this happy face when we show up at church. But then when we leave, we completely are just so mad about everything else in our lives that we completely miss the whole point about having a body of Christ. You know, it is about working together and loving one another in a way that we can pull from each other and understand what God has for us. Because as you guys know from reading, for most of the time from what we have read in the Gospels or even what we've been taught here, we know that Jesus didn't always have the easiest thing for people to receive. Sometimes Jesus gave a very harsh word. Sometimes he gave words that basically, I mean, even his disciples at some point were a little bit confused, where they're like, can you really tell us the meaning of this? But the reason why he did that was because he wanted his disciples, he wanted those people that wanted to know the truth to draw from him, to pull from him, to say, what does this mean? Let me pull from you, Jesus. Let me see what you're talking about. Let me get a firmer revelation or a fuller revelation of what you have said and of what you want to get across to me in my life. Because even though things that he said were hard, I want you to see here, and I'm going to read it real quick again. In verse 42 again, it says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. The thing that she chose was to pull from him. The thing that she chose was to listen to him, to praise him, to worship him. Because when we talk about worship, it's not just singing the music. It's not just doing that, but it's everything that we put into our relationship with him. It is to pull from him. It is to see what he has. Because as you know, there at the, you know, when Jesus met that woman at the well and his disciples went to go get food, you know, this is one of the stories that continually comes into my mind when I think about Jesus. Because the fact is that we have such an abundant life waiting for us in Christ. He said that he came that we might have life, not only have life, but have it more abundantly. So if we're not experiencing life more abundantly, it's because we just need to set our life and our mind in agreement with the Word of God. Amen. It doesn't have anything to do with what you do. It has to do with things that we start believing in. We start believing in God's Word, believing in what He said with us. Because when you look in the book of James, when it talks about, with you know, faith and deeds, when he's talking about a man with faith without deeds, he's like, you know, when a man looks at himself, he's like a man that looks at himself in the mirror and just walks away and completely forgets what he looks like. Because he's looking into the true, the full law, or the law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is the Word of God that we look into to see who we are in Jesus. Amen. And that's all that faith is. Because, see, faith is purely looking at yourself in the way Jesus does. Seeing who you are in Christ. When you do that, deeds are produced. When you do that, health is produced. When you do that, abundance is produced. Because when we see who we are in Jesus, when we believe who we are in Jesus, we see those things taking place. We will start to see those things take place in our life to where we will just have an abundant outflow of not only in our life, but in ways that we can touch other people. Because in the end, we all know that when people are on their deathbed, they're not thinking about a cleaner house. They're not thinking about, you know, having more toys underneath the tree or anything like that. They're thinking about, I should have spent more time with my family. Or, you know, when somebody passes away too soon or anything like that, that we sometimes we go, well, somebody, they took them from us or anything like that. Well, Satan likes to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's important that we understand who our enemy is. But at the same time, we need to learn so that when we can look back on things like that, when people are gone from our lives, we don't have to look back with regret saying that I should have done this better or I should have spent more time with that person. Because if we're solely focused on what God wants us to do, and that's to pull from one another in our relationships, we will spend that time with one another. And we will love one another in a way that God wants us to love each other. So that when we are together, we're not sidetracked. We're not distracted with details. We're not distracted with, you know, with the internet. We're not distracted with anything on our phones. It's become a stigma that every time we go anywhere, we're always on a phone. Or we're always on, you know, I love the fact that I can hop on the internet on my phone at any point I want to. But at the same time, I find myself being more pulled to that and distracted by that than I should be of just enjoying peace and quiet in my car. Or enjoying a night out with family or anything like that. There are so many things that we need to learn to not be distracted of. It could be, you know, it could be the sports, it could be books, it could be whatever the case might be. Not to say that any of those things are bad, but the focus needs to be on our relationships with other people and that relationship with Christ. Because if we're doing that, if we're drawing on it, then we will see those things become more real to us and we will have a richer life, you know, a much more full life if we just draw from other people and let them draw from us as well. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 real quick. Because I see sometimes, you know, and this is one thing that I enjoy seeing, like the little previews and stuff for Pastor Prince's sermon about parenting with grace, you know, or grace-based parenting or whatever he's talking about. And his example is how, you know, like a kid, he goes, you know, if you're doing this, if you're sitting at home watching TV and your kid comes home and says, hey, Daddy, you know, Johnny hit me on the head. And he's like, huh? You know, and he's like flipping the channels. He goes, Dad, he's like, yes, can't you see I'm busy? You know, and it's kind of like, I can do two things at once. And you're sitting there clicking on the TV or whatever. And he's like, yeah, Johnny, hit me, whatever. And he goes, basically, that dad has just ruined an opportunity to speak into that kid's life. And not only that, but has ruined an opportunity for that child to understand that his dad is waiting to listen to him. You know, because it is with those opportunities that if we just start getting ourselves so sidetracked with other things, that even our kids will learn not to disturb us, not to come and try to trouble us with anything, because we'll be sitting there and we'll be doing something, and you know, and I know that, it's kind of like I've seen things happen before where it's kind of like the kid will come up and say, you know, I want a hug or something, and we're busy finishing a text or we're finishing a game on our phone that we don't just say, this can wait, you know. It is the fact that so many things, we seem to have that kind of characteristic of Martha happen way too often in our lives to where we get so distracted by other things that we forget those perfect moments to where you just get to love your family. You know, that you get to love a kid, that you get to share a time with them, read them a book or whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, it was like the other night, and it stinks because I obviously have started, I can see that I've already started that and sowing those types of seeds into Caleb. Because we came home one night after, I think it was either last Wednesday or the Wednesday before, but we came home, and I was like, well, how fun would that be when we get home to just sit on the couch, all four of us on the couch or whatever, and watch, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas or whatever. So we get home, we put it on, and I'm sitting there with Kara. Kara's just sitting on my lap. We're both just watching it. And then Caleb's over there, and he's got my phone playing a game. And I'm like, my goodness. It's like, I've already showed him that, hey, it doesn't matter if we're just hanging out as a family. I want to look at your phone. I want to look at pictures. I want to play a video game. I want to do these things. And it's just kind of like, my goodness, how bad is it going to be when he's 20? You know? It's kind of like, I mean, it's funny because sometimes we get in awe of how well at that young of an age a kid can work a telephone, but at the same time, I sit there and look at it and go, my goodness, what have I done? It's kind of like, because he takes time out of that could be spent with us doing these other things. Or we take time sometimes instead of enjoying a performance of him standing at the top of the stairs. Granted, my kid is, hopefully he gets over this as he gets a little bit older. He loves just being in his underwear. So when it comes to like doing music and all this kind of stuff at home, he stands up on the stairs. Usually he strips down to his underwear and he plays the guitar or he bangs on the drums or he sings and I don't know what he's doing up there. but I mean, the cool part about it is that he does that and he mimics everything, you know, like that we do here. And that is what's so cool and so precious is that not everything, okay? We keep our clothes on, okay? I'm just saying. But what he does is he gets up there and he sings or whatever. And, you know, I have to remind myself to cherish that, you know, enjoy those times and enjoy that moment rather than enjoying something else that I could be, you know, that sometimes gets my eyes or distracts me and, you know, takes away my attention. Because what's funny is that he has heard me evidently enough and other people enough asking for other people to say amen, that he tells you good job after you do it. Because he'll stand up there still, and maybe this is Dan's thing, because he's preaching, you know, and still in his underwear. But he'll be preaching, and then he'll say, you know, hallelujah, amen. And if nobody says anything, no big deal. But if, like, Kara or, you know, Kara will yell back amen or whatever, and he'll be like, good job, sis. Or, you know, if one of us, he'll be like, thank you, daddy, or whatever. I mean, and it'll just, you know, it's that thing that's so precious to receive, because you see how easy it is that a kid can have seeds planted into their lives. And how easy it is that we have had those things planted into our lives, that not only do we get the benefit as we grow up of technology, as it gets better and gets more mobile and everything like that, but we also get the drawbacks of the distractions to where we constantly have to be doing something rather than just enjoying the time that we have with one another. And so it's so precious because you can see both sides of it, that he obviously is pulling and drawing from us the things that, you know, there are things that we want him to see. There are things that we want him to, you know, to cherish and to do on his own. But then there are also other things that obviously we need to weed out. And we need to start taking out of those things so that he learns to enjoy that it's good to just be quiet with each other. You know, and it's kind of like there was nothing more fun for me than one Saturday morning, because the the deal is on Saturdays at our house, please don't call telephones at like 10 o'clock or whatever in the morning, because usually on Saturdays, it is Christy's time to sleep in, and it is my turn to get up bright and early with the kids and have fun with them. Because still, like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock when they get up, it's still sleeping in for me. So we'll get up. But it was like, it was so cool. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, we got up, we went downstairs, and both the kids, they just wanted to color. So we sat at the dining room table, and they colored. And then there was this box sitting down here. It was a little Buzz Lightyear checkerboard and a Buzz Lightyear puzzle. Well, he had never done the puzzle before, so we get the puzzle out, and we're playing the puzzle, but it was just kind of like, I just sat there, and the thing that hit me the most was just kind of like, this was so much more fun to do than letting them run around the house playing a game with each other and me not even being involved. And it was just, but it was the effort, and it was the choice to make the effort to spend that time with them. So that when we sometimes were like, well, I really don't want to go around so-and-so's house because every time I go over there, you know, it always seems to end up wrong. Or, you know, we just haven't been getting along. Well, we need to just put those things completely beside us and learn to draw from one another. Because when we do that, we find out things about other people that help us to understand where they're coming from. You know, what they're doing, what might have gone wrong that day that made them snap at me, rather than saying, that person snapped at me and I hate them now. You know, there are times that we need to just step back and say, why is that? And it's something that I've seen more and more, is that we just need to have that caring spirit towards other people, to where we want to understand and we don't want to offend them. And if we do, it grieves us, because it should. If we walk around with the attitude of saying, it's not my problem that you're upset, you're in a whole another ball game of, you know, being out of touch with the reality of loving people with the love of Christ. Because it should grieve you. Just as we know with the body of Christ, where it says, you know, we can't tell the hand that we don't need our hand. You know, the right hand can't say, I don't need the left hand. So we can't just over here say, well, I don't care if you're hurt. Yeah, you do. You should care. That's your body. That's the rest of you. We should care. We should do whatever it takes. If it means put ice on that chopped off hand or whatever, and do whatever you can to salvage it and bandage it back together, stitch it up. It might not look pretty at first, but it will heal. You know, it is those things that things might not look pretty at first, but we will get better. It gets better if people take the effort to keep it clean, to keep it bandaged, to keep it, you know, to do those things and make those steps to make things better. Now, in chapter 19 of Matthew, just a real quick couple verses, because this is kind of what I've just been talking about with kids, is it says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. You see, even Jesus, right here, is just, he made time for those kids. He made time to impart things to those kids. He made time, and even though the disciples, once again, that characteristic of Martha's coming up to where they were so distracted by other things, saying, well, he's too busy to do this. Jesus was like, no, I'm not too busy to do this. I want to invest in these kids' lives. I want to pray for them. I want to bless them. I want to do that. That should be that heart that we have. And you know, that what kind of just kind of finalized everything that when I was thinking about, you know, what to share tonight, what finalized it was Dan's message on Sunday talking about communion. And you know, when we take communion, one of the things that he said was about when we take communion, it is truly about God being revealed to us, being real to us. To where we take the body, we take the broken body, and we take the shed blood, and we make it real to us. We see it as him. It is a symbol, you know, as a symbol of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, what we receive through that sacrifice. It is everything. And when we do that, when God becomes real to us, it just makes that relationship so much better. So when we have communion with other people, when we are real with other people, when we reveal ourselves to other people and allow them to reveal themselves to us, we build bolder and stronger relationships. It is when we're sheltered and when we're, you know, wearing these, you know, masks that we try to hold up for people, it is when we take those barriers down is when we actually start to see life. We start to see life being given into those, you know, into those other areas of our life. Because we need to learn to be not only real, but just transparent with other people and to just love one another. And I think this is just so, I really just think it was a reminder to not only myself, but to everybody here tonight that during times, not only just holidays, but every day of your life, don't neglect those times that really matter. And those times of drawing from God, drawing from each other, and letting other people draw from you. Because that's what, you know, it talks about when everybody comes together so that we can give those exhorting words to one another, so that we can encourage one another. That's why we come together as a body of believers, so that words can be given, so that songs can be given, so that we can be encouraged, and we can see our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can encourage one another. Amen? All right, well, let's just go ahead and bow our heads, and then we'll pray together up here tonight for any needs that we might have. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our firm foundation. We thank you, Lord, that we love you and we want to honor you. And Father, we also want to honor the other people that you put in our lives, so that when we are, you know, when our life is done and over with, Father, and according to your word, that is only when we are fully satisfied. Father, when we are satisfied with our life, when we are satisfied with our long years, Father, we thank you that when we do that, that we can sit back and not, Father, mourn over the time that we lost, but Father, we can be excited and that we can be passionate and we can just praise you that we loved like you wanted us to love and that we cherish the time that we have with other people. And we just thank you that let us just be so reminded, Father, of our families, of our relationships. And when we start to get distracted, Father, I just ask that you just put a prick in our hearts that just tells us to draw back from that and to just press into those relationships and just to enjoy the moments that you have built for us for every day. And we just thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.